Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Did you ever have a conversation with someone and they said something that was so incongruous to you that you mentally or verbally said, huh? Somehow what they said struck you as so illogical under the circumstances that it just didn't compute. Sometimes I'll overhear or engage in conversations with people who have animals, and they'll say something that has that same effect on me. The most common situation where this arises is when the speakers are what I think of as doers. They believe that as long as they're doing something with their animals, they are preventing or solving problems. And they often believe that the more they do, and the more different things they do, the better they are, and the better their dogs will be. But 9 times out of 10, these conversations also are about problems the animal has. Many times I suspect that the reason the animals have problems is because their people are trying to do too much and too many different things. As a result, there's no consistency in the animal's life, and there's no time for any new behavioral pathways to be established and solidified. And so nothing changes. And because nothing changes, these people want to do more and try more things. In one of these conversations, a woman complained because the person she was working with asked her to do nothing, just for an hour or two a day, for a week. And she was horrified. Her response was, "But the dog will only sleep. How could sleep help a dog?" She couldn't grasp it. The other thing she had trouble grasping was doing nothing herself. She was a busy little beaver when it came to her dog. She wanted to be constantly giving commands, or giving rewards, or doing something. The idea of doing nothing herself, let alone that her dog would sleep while she did nothing, it just didn't compute. In her mind, this rated a great big, huh, too. So it's difficult, this breakdown in communication. On the one hand, we have those who are outside of the emotional, personal part of the relationship with the animal, who can look at what's going on more objectively. We can appreciate what's going on from the animal side, and we can appreciate what's going on from the person's side. But when we're involved, it's quite different. When our animal is having trouble, and when the animal's problems affect us, they affect our happiness, maybe they affect our property because the animal is destroying our property, or they affect our relationships with other people. Neighbors are calling the animal control officer or the police because their dogs bark incessantly, or the landlord is on our backs because the cat is peeing in the bathroom or on the wall-to-wall carpeting. We want to do. We want to do, and do some more. That means that every minute that we're with these animals, particularly if we work and we don't have a lot of minutes, we want them to count. We want to be giving that animal commands and rewards and doing it over and over again. We want to change everything we can as fast as we can. This is endemic in our society. Oddly enough, among the younger generation, I'm seeing more willingness to stop. To just pay attention to the way they interact with their pets. to think about what they're communicating to the animal and about what the animal is trying to communicate via these behaviors that they may or may not like. I find that refreshing. I find it hopeful for the future of the human-animal bond.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.